Hi, I'm Sam Hawley. This is ABC News Daily. If you want to avoid the big spike in your power bills, generating your own power is a pretty good way to start. On the back of the energy crisis, demand for solar panels in Australia is soaring. But how easy are they to get? How expensive are they? And if we all rush out to get them at the same time, can the power grid cope? Today, the ABC's energy reporter, Dan Mercer, on all things solar. Dan, I sort of feel like we should all be rushing out to put solar panels on our roofs.
Yeah, well, you and plenty of others, Sam. I mean, I think the industry mail since this crisis really kicked off in the past couple of weeks is that inquiries from consumers have surged. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there have been reports of, you know, some firms in the eastern states getting increases in the order of 200-300% in terms of inquiries, which gives you an idea of the magnitude of it. And, you know, people are quite rightly worried about the size of the retail electricity price rises coming down the pike. So there are a lot of people who are worried about this, and they're looking around for ways to mitigate their exposure, as you'd expect. And, you know, putting solar panels on your roof, if you can do that, is a pretty good way of dealing with the problem.
And how easy is it to do that, to sort of get the solar panels and just pop them on your roof?
Well, provided you've got the cash and a roof you can control, mm-hmm. it's pretty straightforward. The rooftop solar industry in Australia is now very well established. You know, it's been going gangbusters for more than a decade. And there are thousands, I'd reckon, of providers who are out there providing these services. And something like a quarter of all households in the national electricity market, which services, you know, the eastern states, has a set of solar panels. Mm. That's more than 3 million customers, which is extraordinary when you think there were practically none of these things on rooftops just 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, rooftop solar is just a major player now. And when you tally up the amount of small-scale solar on the system, it's around 12 gigawatts, which is a pretty staggering number. I mean, for context, Australia's single biggest coal-fired power plant is Eraring in New South Wales, and that's less than 3 gigawatts. So you're talking about an amount of solar that's more than four times bigger than Australia's biggest coal-fired power plant.
Okay, so millions of people in Australia already have solar panels. They're in a pretty good position now as we're seeing this crisis in the energy market and power bills really soaring. How much does it cost, Dan, to put solar panels on your roof at home?
I think compared with what they cost even 10 years ago, they're pretty affordable. I don't want to say cheap because they still require some investment and not everybody has, you know, the ability to just invest like that. But depending on what you're looking at, you know, a cheaper system from China or a higher end version, which is ultimately sort of put together in Germany, you could reasonably assume to pay somewhere between $5,000 and $7,000, maybe a bit more. Mm-hmm. If you consider that four return flights from Perth to Canberra cost $4,000, having sort of paid for those recently, I can vouch for that, you know, you get a sense of perspective. And the other thing to keep in mind is that, you know, what you're getting for your money with solar is now vastly better than what you were getting in not even long ago. The typical system just 10 years ago was probably about 1.6 kilowatts, whereas now it's sort of more like five to six kilowatts. Just means that your system is able to provide more electricity.
So, Dan, tell me, what is the catch? Because it sounds like we should all have solar panels already.
Well, it's a good question. And look, I mean, where it makes sense, it is a bit of a no-brainer. Mm. It gets tricky when equity and opportunity comes into the equation because those things aren't always even. Mm. And the fact is that not everybody has the means or the ability to pay for them. And, you know, in some cases, even where they can, they might live in an apartment or a building where there's not an option to install solar. So renters, for example, also might miss out if the landlord isn't willing to, you know, come to the party. And where it gets really tricky is that these people invariably end up cross-subsidising the households which do have solar because the costs of running the grid don't change. They just get passed on to fewer customers who are paying full whack.
You mentioned the grid there. Explain that for me a bit more.
Yeah, so for all the success of solar energy in Australia, you know, it's definitely posing technical problems for the people who run the grid and the people who keep the lights on. And that's not a judgment, it's just an observation. There's now so much solar being generated on the grid at certain times in Australia that it's threatening to overload the system. And what I mean by that is that solar just comes onto the system, it comes into the system when the sun shines. To a large extent, it's uncontrolled and it's uncontrollable, certainly at the moment. So it becomes a major stability risk, you know, in that sense, to the overall system.
Okay, so just so I understand that. So solar is collected from solar panels and that then the energy from that then goes into the grid. So if it's really, really sunny, there's a lot of energy going into the grid and that can sort of tip it over the edge. Is that right?
Yeah, look, at the moment that doesn't happen because there are other generators which are there, such as the coal plants and the gas-fired power plants, hydro power plants, whatever it might be. They can all be directed by the people who run the grid to back off or even switch off if need be. And that is happening now, certainly in South Australia, where there is a very heavy penetration of renewable energy, and in Western Australia, you know, those plants are going offline. They're basically switching off because they have to, so to take sort of pressure off the system in those instances. But it does get to a point where you can't switch them all off because electricity is a game where you have to match demand with supply instantaneously at all times. And if you fail to do that, it goes wrong very quickly.
Sounds like there is a few complications with the grid and making sure that there's not too much energy coming from solar. But wouldn't it be easier if we just all stored our own solar power at home? Is that possible? Why do we have to rely on a grid?
Absolutely, you can store, you know, the excess solar from your panels at home at the moment. Mm-hmm. Battery packs have been on the market in Australia now for many years, and by all accounts, interest in them has grown sharply in recent days and weeks as well. You know, they can be great for the really engaged energy consumer who's happy to micromanage their use and ride the ups and downs of the market. But by the same token, batteries are a fair bit more expensive than solar panels, and they don't give you the same payback in terms of the time. So, you know, what sounds more promising realistically, at the small scale level at least, is what's known as a community battery. And that's where an electricity provider, whether it's a retailer or a poles and wires company, installs a bigger battery storage system in a neighbourhood and then signs up a heap of nearby solar households as customers. Those customers can use the battery as a kind of an energy bank into which they can put excess solar when they don't need it before taking it out later on when they do to avoid buying from the grid. And, you know, there are some of these already operating in Western Australia, and there's a view that they offer a better alternative to batteries at the house because they can be a bit more efficient.
You've mentioned already that a quarter of homes on the eastern states have solar panels already. What will we see in the years ahead, do you think, in terms of the uptake?
Oh, by all accounts, the uptake is not going to slow down for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think the sense is that that number is likely to double by 2030. You know, that will be about the saturation point when there aren't really any more rooftop, certainly household rooftops, to put these things on. But that will be, I mean, a really extraordinary achievement. That will be essentially Australia leading the rest of the world to a point where we've sort of maxed out our solar, rooftop solar capacity first.
Dan Mercer is the ABC's energy reporter. If you want to understand why power prices have increased so dramatically, listen to our episode from Tuesday, June the 7th. That's in your feed. Thank you. This episode was produced and mixed by Chris Dengate and Sam Dunn. Additional production by Sydney Peed and Flint Duxfield. Our supervising producer is Stephen Smiley. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. You can find all of our episodes of the podcast on the ABC Listen app. To get in touch with the team, email us on ABC News Daily, abc.net.au. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.